This morning's reading is from The Message, and it is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Just a carpenter. He left there and returned to his hometown. His disciples came along. On the Sabbath, he gave a lecture in the meeting place. He made a real hit, impressing everyone. "We had no idea he was this good," they said. "How did he get so wise all of a sudden, get such ability?" But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. "He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James, Justice, Jude, and Simon, and his sisters. Who does he think he is?" They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell, sprawling, and they never got any further. Jesus told them, "A prophet has little honor in his hometown, among his relatives, on the streets he played in as a child." Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness. He left and made a circuit of the other villages, teaching. The 12. Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. "Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. Here ends the reading this morning.
Well, as far as business plans go, his lacked substance. If he was planning to get a loan from the bank, his ideas were never going to fly. Can you imagine it? Jesus walks into the finance booth at the market. Here's the conversation. I need some money. I'm going to go around to some temples and synagogues and maybe stop at some people's houses. Maybe I'll sit on a hilltop and talk, and probably some places that they could cut the roof off so that they could lower people down would be good, so I'm going to need some dough. Oh, you want to know about my employees? Well, I got my eye on a couple of fishermen. They seem like good hard workers, and a few of them work with their dads, so I know they come from good stock. There's some women kind of interested, too. I'm going to do a little speaking, a little healing, maybe a few resurrections. And the banker is going, "Huh? What about training? Training. I followed John the Baptist around for a while. You know, that really good preacher guy? I learned a lot from him. Now I'm expanding on his message." "What message, you say?" "Well, that life can be radically different. You know, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You can be a light on the hill. You too, Mr. Banker. You're the salt of the earth. I can see it in you. But I can see that you're not following me. I'm not convincing you, am I? But if people will turn from their selfish ways, life can be filled with mercy and justice for all of God's beloved. And that means you, Mr. Banker, too. How do I know that? Well, I heard God say it to me when John baptized me. You are beloved. So I'm figuring that must mean everybody. And I want to send my workers out to spread this message. References? Well, I was just kind of in my hometown, and they weren't real tickled with me. References? No, not so much. I think the banker would have sent Jesus on his way. He would have said, you are not getting any dough. Because there were other miracle workers walking around the countryside at that same time. According to Reza Aslan in Zealot, Jesus was surely not the first exorcist to walk the shores of the Sea of Galilee. In first century Palestine, professional wonder worker was a vocation. It was well established, as much so as that of a woodworker or a mason, and better paid. Because all of them asked for money for all of their miracles and their healings, and people paid them. Galilee abounded with these charismatic visionaries claiming that they could channel the divine for a nominal fee. So Jesus had competition in a way, but the difference was he never charged anyone a penny. So when he wanted to send these people out, he might have needed a little dough, but he didn't have it. But I wondered, was he already planning to send them out when he called them? When he walked along the shore and he said, hey, you, come here, come with me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Did he have a master plan like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs? You know, they've got a great idea. Not much to go with it at first. I Googled companies that started out in a garage. And I was surprised at how many huge companies started out on a shoestring, a germ of an idea. Mattel Toys, Lotus Cars, Hewlett Packard, Google, Disney, Apple, and Amazon started out with just a germ of an idea. You know, it's easy to look at these big companies and say, I could never do anything like that, and you might be right. Some of these companies took decades, but they all started out with almost nothing but a dream and an idea. So whether it's a garage or a basement, every business has humble beginnings. It's not where you start, it's where you end up. So Jesus didn't have monetary backing. He didn't have the support of his hometown. His family thought he was a little crazy, but he had 12 guys, some women, a vision, and a dream. Our scripture that was read today said, don't think you need a lot of extra equipment. You are the equipment. No special appeal for funds. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. So for granted, Jesus himself had been trained by John the Baptist, one of the best preachers of that time. And he'd been training these 12 guys. He trusted them to get the job done. So no, they didn't have a fancy knapsack full of brochures. They didn't have a logo on their shoes. They had one pair of sandals and Jesus' vision. Create God's realm here, now. Verse 12 and 13 said, then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. So I urge all of you to see yourself as the equipment. You've all been hearing the message of radical hospitality, extravagant welcome, justice, no matter who you are or who you love, inclusion and welcome for all of God's beloved. So preach it with joyful urgency, because you are the equipment. So I want to add another business to that list of garage businesses. Christianity, a radical, life-changing, healing business open 24 hours a day for free. No charge, no guarantees, but great benefits. After all, what other business promotes life abundant and isn't fussy about your shirt or your shoes? So maybe you won't be welcomed or honored in your own circle. You might get ridiculed. But I say you, the equipment, take it to the streets, the stores, the bars. Keep it simple. You are the equipment. Go.